you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that day. Hallelujah. I hope today that it is well with your soul. I love singing about Jesus' return, and I love about singing about being in the right relationship with him, so it is well with our soul no matter what happens in this world. And today I'm going to finish off my sermon from last week. But before we do that, I just want to take a moment. I know Glenn Disler, you're online here right now. And we want to pray for Glenn and his family, his wife, Deb. Deb will be air-vacced out of Prince George today and taken to Vancouver. And she'll be having surgery on her brain tumor this coming Wednesday if everything goes as planned. So I just want to encourage us as a church family to rally around them right now. And also that, through these next few days and this next week or two, if you could every day just lift up their names before the Lord and just intervene for them and intercede. But together as a family this morning, along with Glenn and his family, let's pray. Yeah, God, we thank you for the hope that is in you. Thank you, God, that we will see you face to face. And that gives us hope and life today. And so, God, today as a church family, we want to rally around Glenn, around Deb, around their family. And we want to ask you, God, again, to be the banner of protection and covering over their lives that you've always been through the years. And God, we ask specifically today for the peace that passes all understanding, that their faith which is within them would guard them and keep them in peace. And I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is not only with them today, your Holy Spirit is already going before them. And that God, as Deb flies and as she's in the hospital in Vancouver, as she faces the surgery, God, that you have gone before her and you are with her, God. And you will bring complete healing to her body. So thank you, God. And we pray just for that confidence and that hope and that trust in you. And that they will be feeling the angel's wings just wrapping around them, as it were, today. And I thank you for Glenn here online today. And I just pray in Jesus' name for peace and strength and comfort in his life. Thank you, God, for his hope, and thank you for the song in his heart. And we together as a church family say that all of this can be done, God, by your name and for your glory. And we say together in your name, God, amen, amen, amen. So be it. Glenn, love you so much, and I've texted with Deb this morning, and really appreciate you guys and your family. Love you so much. And together we will join you in prayer and asking God to help and bless her. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, from my heart to yours this morning, I'm going to read a couple of chunks of Thessalonians in a moment. But just from my heart to yours this morning, I just want to sort of conclude this theme of the second coming of Jesus. Talked last week about the fact that the second coming is going to happen. It's going to take place. Jesus promised it. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. We don't exactly know the exact moment or day or week or month or year, but we know that it could be today. It could be a generation. We don't know. We just know that we've been called in the sense of our lives to watch the signs and to pay attention to what is going on and not lose sight of the fact that we're living if this eternal hope and this eternal mindset that we are living for eternity. And the second thing I, of course, covered was that we should be prepared. Jesus himself asked us to be prepared for his coming and not to be just sort of winging it, wanting to just carry on with this life and whenever it happens, it happens. But he wants us to be aware of our lives, aware of the kingdom of God, and aware that he's coming back and live in that expectation and that confidence and awareness of the fact that he's coming and be prepared when he is. I want to talk a little bit more about that today. And in the midst, can I just preface everything by saying this? that we are not, as God's people, to have any fear about Jesus' coming or when it is. We are to live in a state of preparedness so that we just go along because we know it's happening and we're ready, we're prepared. And so there's not to be any fear in anticipating Jesus' return, but just a joy and just an exhilaration and expectancy that it's going to come. You know, in the Old Testament, there are these guys that were known as the sons of Issachar. And in their setting in the Old Testament, the Bible says this about them. It says this, these few words. It goes, men who understood the times. Men who understood the times. That's what the Word of God says about these guys in the light of what was going on in Israel and in the world at that time around them. And in a sense, if we as Christians in the New Testament era in the church could understand that we need to understand the times we live in, and we need to be aware of the times we live in, and we need to make sure that we're always aware and expecting and ready for that second coming of Jesus. In my homework to you last week, if you were online, was to read and meditate on Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. And as you know now, if you read it and meditated on it, it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And Jesus gave that parable to illustrate that as Christians, we're to be in the posture of the 5 wise virgins who had their lamp, they had a trim, they were ready to go when the bridegroom showed up, they were ready to come and be and ready to go into the banquet feast, and then the doors were closed, and the other 5 who were considered foolish virgins had not prepared and went off to grab some oil because they didn't have it when the bridegroom was coming, and so they were left out of the banquet. And Jesus' warning to us is that don't be like them who have not prepared their lives for the return of Christ, but be like the wise virgins who are ready, prepared, and confident in the return of Jesus. Jesus' warning and admonishment at that time in the parable, at the end of that parable, was simply, give me 2 words. It was, keep watch. Keep watch. Keep expectant for that time. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, I just want to read to you a couple of from chapters 1 and 2 a couple of thoughts about the end times, and they're not in any particular order of events that take place in the future, but what I want to do today is leave you with a point. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says in verse 3, we are always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all persecution and affliction which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. You see, what Paul is referencing here is the fact that there is coming a day. We sang it this morning, you know, and in that expectation of even so come, Lord Jesus. But there's coming that day. And in that day, when Jesus returns, there is a judgment that will follow. And the judgment is very simple. Everybody lives for eternity. We all will live for eternity, but there's 2 directions to go. One is to know God, to expect his return, to believe in him, to live our lives for the kingdom of God, live our lives getting to know him more and more and more and being ready for his return. And it says that we will be rewarded. We'll have eternal life. We'll have relationship with God. And as we sung this morning, Lisa, we will see him face to face. But there's the other warning that comes out of this passage here in 2 Thessalonians, and it's very simple, that we're all going to face that judgment, and if we have not prepared ourselves for that day, then God will judge us accordingly. You see, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you've not recognized you're a sinner and that you need him, and that he died on a cross for you, and he rose from the dead for you to give you life and eternal life, if you do nothing in this life to get to know him and to live for his kingdom and understand what he's calling us to, if you don't open up the Bible, his word to you, and get to know him, then it says you are in danger of that day God casting you to eternal darkness or eternal separation from himself. And instead of living in joy and relationship with God, you will suffer for eternity anguish. The Bible refers to it as hell and the lake of fire. You see, that's the warning that God gives us. And in this generation, we need to heed the warning, because God does not want this. He does not want you. God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish eternally and suffer for eternity apart from God, but will have everlasting life. It's the choice. It's the warning. And in the New Testament and in the Gospels and in Revelation at the end of the New Testament, these books completely warn us and caution us to understand the gospel, to understand what Jesus did for our sin, and to have a relationship with him. We need to heed the warning that God gives us, that we should get into right relationship with God. And even this morning, if you have never done that, you can pray and just like a friend, ask him to forgive your sin, come into your life, and to give you new hope and eternal life, that you can know that when he returns, you're ready to receive him. And Christians today, if we are people of faith, one thing, I'm going to put myself on the block here today. You know, I'm the kind of person who believes that even though I commit my life to Jesus, that because I have a free will, that I can certainly decide to do nothing more about it. And I believe personally that if I do nothing about it, that I could end up in this judgment apart from God. Why would I ever, ever take that risk? But that I would do all that is in my power, all that is in my strength to know God and to stay in a right relationship with God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. Here's another thing that we have to watch out for. We request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. You see, what will take place in our world is that the world is not necessarily going to get a whole lot better. You see, some of the signs you see right now with all of the unrest and the racism that's come more and more to the forefront, all of the uneasiness with political stuff, and we've all been through that last 4 years with the United States, and even today it continues. You know, the stuff that happened at the Capitol, people are getting more and more brazen and more against the status quo, and there's an unrest and there's a lack of peace in our world, and all of these things must happen in order for this guy, this Antichrist, this person of lawlessness that's described here, who will come onto the scene at some point in history when it gets so bad and there's so much lack of peace and things are just beyond, you know, help and hope. And he will come into the temple of God and he will set himself up and say that he is God, and people will be deceived, and he will begin to rally together and have this perfect answer of peace, that this is the solution, and the whole world will buy into it because they so desperately want peace and rest from it all. And he will have the answer. And everybody will come under him. And it says that there will be a mark of the beast that we will be known by. If we take the mark, we'll be known that we're his. We often refer to it as a chip. And we don't know all the details and all the innuances. But everything that's happening in this world today is signs and little steps and little tremors of something that will take place in a greater measure when the Bible will be completely fulfilled. You see, stuff like currency and stock markets and volatility and those things will crash. We no longer have pennies any longer. We have debit cards and MasterCards, and we tap them, we do all this stuff to make it easier in our life. And now you get these guys on the internet who like to go into different companies and hijack and take their information and then hold it hostage for millions of dollars. And companies are literally paying the ransom so that it won't be exposed publicly and out in the open. You see, there's going to come a day when it's going to be so completely open and bare that something has to take place. And why not have a chip on our hand or our forehead that they just scan so that nobody can take your stuff? I don't know all the facts. I'm just giving you some scenarios of things that take place in our world. You know, something in our day right now with COVID-19 that kind of concerns me is if we have to have a vaccine passport in order to travel anywhere. Now, there's nothing in itself wrong with that. It's probably a man's good, wise solution right now. But you know what? It's just another step that says we will all have some form of identification so that we can be known where we are and all the things in the world, where we go. It's just all little pieces. I could get into a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, I'm just musing a little bit. It's not my main point. My main point is that we need to be ready, and we need to be aware of the signs of our times. And we can't wait for a rainy day. We can't wait for 10 years down the road. We can't wait till all of a sudden this mark or this chip for implanting in us comes on the scene. Because if we do that, we're holding stock that we're going to have the faith to accept it or reject it when we have to make that decision. Why not make the decision to follow Christ today and stay as close to him as possible? So on that day when the Spirit says to us, don't do this, we'll hear his voice. Again, I'm not trying to cast fear. I just want us to be aware and awake that Jesus is going to come back. How much do you know of what will take place in the future? I took the risk of just saying those couple of things because, you know, I am concerned and I'm worried that a lot of people don't know anything about the future and end time events that the Bible records. I just have that concern. And I would say to us, if we have never read the Revelation or we have never read the Gospels where Jesus refers to the end times, then now is that time. Now is the time to gain knowledge and understanding so that we're not caught off guard. The point of Thessalonians in the two books is whether we die or Christ returns and we're alive, we have to be ready. We have to know Jesus. Ephesians 6, 12 and 18, you know, don't look at people and things going on and politicians and health officers and trash them. You know, it's not about them right now. You see, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of that, take on the full armor of God that you can withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. How can we stand if we don't know? We need to know And we need to know the Word of God, and we need to have the Word of God sinking into our mind and into our hearts and into our spirit, and know what the enemy is up to, what his end game is. His end game is to keep you as far away from God's Spirit as possible, so that you will not know his tricks and his deceiving and his stuff that he's going to put into play. He wants us off guard. He wants us unprepared. And again, 2 Timothy 1:7, remember, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And I'm being a little heavy here this morning. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. He's given us everything in this world so that we can be victorious, we can be prepared, we can be ready. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, this is Jesus, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to happen. It is happening. It will happen. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37 to 39, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that, church? That nothing can separate us. Death, life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, no power, but Jesus Christ will keep us in the love of God. As you know, that lately we all haven't been able to gather in the building together. It's been a while, folks. And another 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks that it's been extended to this point and till the end of the May long weekend. And for the record, I just want to say this. I miss gathering together with all of you. You know, I am privileged because I get to gather with a group of people in the building, and it gives me strength and encourages me and it keeps me going, and I love being here with these folks. But we can't all be together, and I miss it, and I'd pull my hair out if I had any. But I believe that God has been in all of this. God is never sleeping. He's got his plan. You know, just as principalities and powers are working, so is God. And God, when I read the end of the book, wins. It all ends up with him getting all the glory and the power and the honor. You know, I believe in Romans 8:28, and I believe it's in play today, and be encouraged with it, that we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. You know, no matter the bad, the hard times, you know, the brain tumors, the things that we go through, we know that God is at work for our good and all of it. Not just when we feel good and when something great's happening. God is in all of it. I remember him giving me this verse the night before I lost my fingers on my left hand. I remember, and I knew it meant something, but I didn't know what it meant until the next night, overnight at 4 a.m. when I woke up from all the drugs from surgery and everything. And the first thing that came into my mind, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, God will do all of these things for your good. God cares about you. You know, we live in this world, and we're going to go through all of this stuff, and we'll go through it together. But one thing is for certain, that God is going to use it for your good and for my good and to bring us into his kingdom when we keep our eyes focused on him. Over this last year and a bit, have you been looking for and following the purposes of God in your life? Have you been using this opportunity to see what new things God is doing in your life and in the life of his church? Or have we been wasting this amazing opportunity we've been given to partner with God through this season of life? Philippians 2:12 to 13 says, though then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, now in my presence only, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Hebrews 13, 20, 21, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In Ephesians 2, 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You know, I hope that in this season of life, that you and I will be changed. I hope that we are learning to depend on God more. I hope that we're being strengthened, that we're being developed in our faith. I hope that we will grow in learning to pray and to value the reading of his word, to actually have relationship with him. And I hope that we know him more than we did a year and a bit ago when this whole season started. That's my hope. And I do hope that when we gather again together in this place, when we're all in this building together, that we will worship and we will celebrate God more than we've ever done before. That when we come into the building, it won't just be, okay, we're back, we're allowed to be here, but it'll be an expectation that God is with his people. And when we celebrate, that God will do signs and wonders in this building. And it won't just be a church building, it'll be a place where God's people are prepared to receive him as king on the moment when he comes back. But in the meantime, when we're together, we will celebrate and worship him with everything that is within us. And that we won't take for granted the need for us to gather together and interact and value each other and encourage and build each other up. That we will have this hope, and that when we have the coffee and the fellowship in the foyer after the service, that nobody will leave. Nobody will leave because they just want to be together encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And that when we come together, we'll start to be accountable to one another. And we will gather together to do community work together. That individually we'll see a greater harvest out in our city. And we will set ourselves out with our passion and our gifting to do the work of God, to bring the gospel to our city. Our kids and our youth are going to need us more than ever in the days ahead. I think we've lost a generation. And we need to be the generation that stands up and says no more. We will not lose this next generation. And we come back together and we're going to teach Sunday school and disciple them. And we're going to have youth discipleship and preteen discipleship and real kids, you know. We're going to have trouble maintaining the amount of people that want to be involved and volunteer. Folks, we may be a generation that's become asleep, but let's not be the generation that ends that way. Let's wake up. And let's start to do the things that we need to do to be ready for Christ's return, and what we have to do in the body of Christ to encourage and strengthen and invest in each other. And let's be the church that doesn't lose this next generation of children and youth. Please, I beg you, I implore you. Let's turn our eyes to Jesus. And let's not talk about the gospel. Let's be the gospel. Let's live the gospel. And let's be ready for the return of Jesus. And oh, we can only imagine what we'll do when we see him face to face. But I don't care what it is. It's going to be fantastic. And it's going to make it worth it all. Keep your faith. Don't ignore the word of God. Don't ignore prayer any longer. It doesn't matter what's been in the past. What matters is today. Let's get into the word of God. Let's get to know our God. Let's pray and talk to him and listen to him. And let's follow him. And let's live and invest in his kingdom like we never have before. A lot of stuff going on in our world today. This new phase of life we've entered, and hopefully we'll be through soon. But one thing will never change. We have an enemy at work who wants to destroy and keep us from our God. He wants to keep us complacent and asleep. But let's not let him, because we know that God is at work. And God is at work in your life and in my life. And Paul tells us in Philippians, he's going to finish that work on the day when he returns. We're not perfect, but let's get our eyes on Christ. Let's live for him. Let's live for each other. And let's be ready for that day when Jesus comes and keeps his promise. Let's finish well, folks. Let's finish well.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Woo! God, our hope is not built in a new calendar year. It's not built on a Monday. It's not built on a vaccine. It's not built in a house. It's not built in our job and the next promotion, our friends and our family. And though so many of these things are good things, it's not where we put our hope.
Jesus.
Yes, amen. You are our hope. Church this morning, Pastor Rich came and he has painted a powerful and beautiful picture of what it looks like to live in and lean in to the being the church. And it'll be so good when we can fill this room, but it doesn't have to wait. Like, lean in now so that when we're here, we're not just warming up, but we're running and we're going. Yes. You were called this year to raise the bar. Jesus. That hasn't changed. Jesus. Yeah, it's hard. And sometimes it really sucks. Oh, but God is worth it and he's with you.
Amen.
And all of these things that we're to be ready for and to keep our eye on, all of those things, man, you could waste your entire life looking for all the wrong things.
Oh,
I spent 9 years in banking. 9 years. In all sorts of roles. And you know, we deal with cash every day. And we could waste our time wondering if every single bill was a counterfeit. But we knew the counterfeits because we studied and knew the real thing. Know the real thing. Get into the Word. You don't have to wonder if COVID is some sort of conspiracy theory. You know why? Because God's Word is here to you, and he's more concerned about what he wants from you. And for some of you, that might just be really challenging, and that's okay. We got to get in the Word, and we need to know the truth. And we need to know Jesus in an intimate and real way so that when things come, we can say, no, that's a lie. No, that's a counterfeit, because I know my God. And that is not what he stands for. Like, in this room right now, you can feel the Spirit, and I pray at home you're moved, not just emotionally, but deeply in your spirit, grieved for what is going on. Because we can't hype you into a life of urgency. We can't, you know, manipulate some emotional response where you live passionately for the Lord. That'll die off. Knowing God and being in the Word, that'll build up true urgency, intimacy. And it's time that we do that. Like, I'm not satisfied. Pastor Rich isn't satisfied. Your leaders aren't satisfied with the way things are. And probably if I could talk and have coffee with each of you, you wouldn't be satisfied with life right now either. And it's not to say that everything we've done hasn't been the vision God's given us. It's just that now it's more. It's time to raise the bar. So God, today, we just reflect on the fact that you are coming. And God, that excites us and that gives us hope, but that should also stir in us something. Each one of us loves a person who is far from you. And we can't save them, but we can do everything in our power to make sure they have the opportunity to see what a life looks like lived for Jesus and to hear the gospel. And so God, stir in us something deep for those around us, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, our homes, in our community. We've lost a generation because we're just sitting around. They want to go out and change the world. And we've kind of let them down. So God, forgive us for that. Forgive us for being complacent. And God, give us a vision of what it looks like to move forward. Unify us for your kingdom here and now until you call us home. Continue to break down the walls and the barriers and the lies in our life that we've believed. And God, help us to remember that your word to us is to us. We can read it. We can know it. We can understand it. We don't need anyone in between. Yes, teaching and preaching are good and powerful, but we are capable of spending time with you and knowing you and praying. God, just break down that lie that we believe that we can't do that on our own, that we don't know, that we're not smart enough, that we're not good enough, whatever. You came for every one of us. Help us to see people the way that you see people. People are not the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Give us a love for them. God, that their sin wouldn't offend us, but we would want to just extend your grace to them. That we would go where you would go. God, we love you, and we know that you love us. But God, you came for everyone. Help us to take your love outside of these walls. Help us to be encouraged in the midst of life that's hard. Help us to live into community with one another. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just pray right now that your spirit would just fill every person watching and listening. And Jesus, come.